America versus Jonathan Shane Benton, and Ms. Hutchworth will hear from you.
Thank you. May it please the court. Under the terms of 3582C2 and United States Sentencing Guidelines Section 1B1.10, Mr. Benton's sentence of imprisonment imposed by the district court originally was based upon a sentencing range that has subsequently been lowered by the Sentencing Commission. And thus, he is eligible for a sentence reduction contrary to the ruling of the district court in this case. Based upon, as that word is used, those words are used in 3582C2, is based upon not exclusively the sentencing guideline range, only the sentencing guideline range, or authorized by. It's based upon if the sentence of imprisonment, in this case 57 months, is based upon a sentencing guideline range that has subsequently been lowered, Mr. Benton's eligible for reduction in light of the amendments to the crack cocaine guidelines.
Yeah, but how is the sentence in this case that is 87 months and below the statutory minimum and imposed by the district court at the request of the prosecutor under a specific guideline to be reduced for cooperating, and he gets 87 months, how in the world is that 87 months based on crack cocaine?
Okay, that's the issue, isn't it? And you look to several things. You look to how the guidelines operate, and you look to what the current version of 1B1.10 says. 1B1.10, the policy statement that effectuates 3582C2, says the first question is this person eligible? Then you look to possible amount of reduction. Is he eligible? What was the applicable guideline range? That's determined by looking at the offense level and the criminal history score. In this case, in Mr. Benton's case, the original applicable guideline range was 121 to 151 months. Okay? So you look to that range, and then you look to the amendments, which apply here retroactively to Mr. Benton, and you ask, was that range lowered? In this case, the range was lowered by operation of the guidelines. Even though 2D1.1 lowered it more, we are stuck with a mandatory minimum of 120 months. So Mr. Benton's range was lowered from 120 to 125. It was lowered. Any way you look at it, it doesn't say lowered by more than a month. It says, was the range lowered? His original range was 121 to 151.
The issue, the range sort of in an academic sense was lowered. But
it
the
was
operative
lowered.
Words are, that's whether or not the range was lowered, his ultimate sentence, the final one, wasn't based on the lowered range.
Well, of course, it had to have been based upon the sentencing guideline range in effect at the time, the 120 to 151.
The criminal rules that govern sentencing and then a resentencing pursuant to a 5K motion are Rule 32 and then Rule 35. And if you look at just the original sentence, what happens here is it contemplates there will be a departure from the applicable guideline range. It won't be based on the range anymore. It'll be a departure from that range. And then the specific rule that is used for all these motions is Rule 35 that doesn't mention guideline ranges at all, right? I guess the question I have for you is, what in the language of Rule 35, specifically Rule 35B4, speaks of basing a 5K resentencing on a range at all?
Well, first of all, this wasn't a 5K. This was a 5K 3553E,
right.
Original sentencing. A motion was filed before sentencing to reduce the sentence based upon substantial assistance. At sentencing, That motion gave the court, by operation of 5K1.1 and 3553E, that motion by the government gave the court the authority to go below the guideline range.
And the language is to depart from it. Isn't that what Rule 32's language is?
And depart from the guideline range, with the starting point, words used in Carter, this court's opinion, being the guideline range, not the mandatory minimum, which is below the guideline range. And in fact, the starting point for the court's decision to go below the guideline range expressly referenced, a la Sotomayor and Freeman, was 10 levels below.
Now, so, that recommendation, was there a specific recommendation, or was that the judge going down 10 points?
The government recommended, and it's the practice in the Middle District, rather than using percentages or saying nothing, in the Middle District, typically the government says, we file a substantial assistance motion, you are now allowed to go below the guideline range and even the mandatory minimum, and we recommend you reduce the offense level by 10 levels. And then look at that new guideline range.
So there was a specific recommendation by the government?
Yes, sir.
To reduce the guidelines by 10 levels. And so the judge was still working off the guidelines?
The starting point, expressly in the statement of reasons, is the offense level, the guideline range, a reduction by 10, new guideline range, and he sentenced, presumably considering the 5K1.1 factors. He sentenced Mr. Benton to 57 months. That sentence decision was based upon 5K and the considerations you say. But the starting point was absolutely the guideline range, which was above the mandatory minimum. So unlike Carter,
Prada's questions are interesting in that sense. So you're saying if the transcript would reflect that at the 5K hearing, the government said because of this original range, this is 57 is what he should get?
They didn't say 57. And the practice in the Middle District is and has been, for as long as I've been federal defender since 93, that typically when a motion is filed, they suggest how many offense levels the court should go below. Of course, the court can do whatever it wants. They now have the authority to go below the applicable guideline range and below the mandatory minimum.
So you could say from a practical matter in your district, it looks like it arguably was based on a range which was then lowered. But as a matter of law, the authority the district court has to depart is tied to the statutory minimum, right?
Right.
And so The authority to grant the 57-month sentence is not one tied to the guidelines. It's a statutory provision, 3553E?
That's true. The authority the court was given.
Depends on how you use the word phrase.
But how does the court exercise the authority?
Okay.
He exercised it based upon the sentencing guideline range as a starting point.
What's the basis to think that Congress and the law here assumes it's going to go district by district whether the practice is to tie it to the guidelines as to the very easy nationwide rule that based on refers to authority you have to resentence or sentence?
Well, if that's the case, then why does 1B1.10 even refer to 3553E, 5K, and Rule 35? I mean, under that theory, when would a reduction, why would you ever get to a comparably less reduction?
Well, I don't see that much authority. I think you cited a Fourth Circuit unpublished decision that accepts that, right? But there isn't much authority out there, Carter's dubious authority, for your proposed rule.
Well, Carter is the base, using Carter, the base level. I mean, I'm not even suggesting I agree with Carter. We've filed in another case a brief saying Freeman overrules Carter and changes the landscape. But And I'm not saying I even agree with Reginald Allen, which says that even if the range, the top of the range is lowered, as long as the bottom is not lowered, you're not eligible for reduction. Our bottom was lowered by 1 month. So the issue is, if you look at the policy statement in 1B1.10, you look at eligibility by seeing if the effect of the amendment was to lower the guideline range. that applied initially. In our case, it was lowered by 1 month. The bottom was lowered by 1 month, so we're not stuck, we're not prohibited by Carter or Reginald Allen from being eligible for reduction. Then, under the other provisions of 1B1.10, what is the extent of the reduction? Well, you can't go lower than that minimum unless...
I should remember this from your brief, but how did this... I think Judge Brady brought all this up sua sponte. Is that correct?
The government...
Just hear me out, because it's a little on you. Your client gets an enormous departure for substantial assistance, down to 57 months from where he was, 10 years or higher.
It was 121 to 151.
Okay. So he's getting down to less than 60 months by virtue of the government's motion and the statutory authority. Did you then say, and I object to this sentence? You did. You made an objection, right? I object to your sentence because it should be more in light?
With the Judge Brady, you mean? Judge Tyson originally sentenced.
Yes.
We didn't represent the defendant.
Yes.
We're doing all the crack cocaine cases, so we
I see.
We got him now.
And you screened it and you made an...
Well, we represent everybody.
I know, but how... How is this objection preserved?
Well, I see your question. I'm sorry. So it's on the landscape of cases because it's a crack cocaine case.
Right.
So there's a motion filed. It was the way we worked it out in the Middle District, and all these cases and motions filed. And originally, the probation officer said, "Yes, he's entitled to a comparably less reduction." His original offense level is 29, now it's 27. He gets 10 levels down. You can sentence him within that new range, Judge.
But that, now, that doesn't mean that the judge is obligated to reduce the sentence.
No.
Only that he...
We never got
he is
there.
Not, he is not prohibited from considering...
Exactly.
...reconsidering the sentence.
And you can't say... There's nothing in 3582C that says, based on... the judge said, and he used different words, but he said, if it's based upon, clearly the sentence in a sense was based on 3553E, but it's also based upon the sentencing guideline range. It's a starting point. Whether you take a percentage like most districts do, or you take a level like the Middle District does. I don't think this is just a Middle District oddity. The point is, under 1B1.1, the policy statement that governs our interpretation of 3582C2, you know what I'm talking about. What governs that is, was the applicable range lowered, and did that amendment lowering the applicable range have the effect of lowering the defendant's range? It did. Then the question becomes, how low what can you do? What can you give him? Well, our position, Judge Brady never got to this, he said he wasn't eligible, is under the comparably less provisions, you can give him a comparably less reduction. And those provisions specifically refer to 3553E, Rule 35, and 5K. If your reading's correct, that provision is meaningless in the guidelines.
To me, you're making the thing unnecessarily complicated, of course, or maybe it's necessarily complicated, because the sentence and guidelines are so technical, and you get into the weeds on any kind of sentence, I guess. But here, the ultimate sentence that he... although you're right, in a tangential way, it's based upon the reduction for crack cocaine, it was based upon crack cocaine. The ultimate sentence he received, in the large sense of the word, is not based upon crack cocaine. It's based upon the fact that he has the authority under the sentencing guidelines to reduce the sentence because he cooperated.
So even without regard to mandatory minimum, what you're saying, if someone gets a 5K reduction, they can never get a comparably less reduction, even though 1B1.10...
I'm saying it's a case-by-case basis. Well, but here, just as a factual matter, if you've got to say what it's based on, it's a whole lot more based on the judge's authority to reduce his sentence than it is on the on crack cocaine.
5K, what are we talking about with all these motions? Going below the guideline range, going below the mandatory minimum.
Yeah, but those are very different things.
It's the starting point.
Those are very different things. That's the problem here. What's happening here is it's a departure from the guidelines pursuant to Rule 35B4, which has no reference to the guidelines. It's purely a reference to the statutory minimum. Otherwise, you don't file a 5K pursuant to statutory authority, because the whole mechanism is getting you away from the floor, the statutory floor. The guidelines have moved out of the picture. This is being controlled by statutory minimums.
Well, it's not. That's the beauty of this. While Reggio Allen and Carter don't apply, because the judge could have given him 120 months based on the 5K.
And the minimum.
Well, based on the 5K, he could go below the 121.
He couldn't go below 120, though.
No.
And he did. So
but
how?
He,
what did he do that based on?
The 5K and the 3553E, with the starting point being the guidelines that have since been amended. It's actually not complicated. We're making based upon too complicated.
Okay, will you save some time for rebuttal to clarify this matter? Ms. Davies?
Good morning, Your Honors. Helena Davies for the United States. The defendant, Jonathan Benton, was not eligible for a sentence reduction under 3582C2. His sentence was not based on a guideline range that was subsequently reduced, lowered by the Sentencing Commission. As this court just recently held last month in United States versus Allen, case number 12-30356, the defendant remained subject to a valid statutory minimum sentence. He was ineligible. And as this court also noted in the recent case in Allen, 3553 provided the sole basis for the defendant to be sentenced lower than a statutory minimum.
What about the 1 month in between? Let's say you hadn't filed the substantial assistance motion. This defendant would still have been eligible for a slight 705 or 750?
750.
Right?
Yes, sure.
This defendant would have been marginally eligible because it was 121 bottom of the guidelines. You, right?
The defendant, under the amendment, 750, the defendant was guideline range originally was 121 to 151.
Right.
With the amendment, his guideline range would be lowered two levels, and it would go from 100
yeah.
to 120.
So if you'd never filed the 5K, they would have eligibility for a 750 amendment.
Yes, Your Honor, but when that 5K, and specifically that 3553E motion was filed, that is what authorized
everything.
That is what authorized the district court to go below the statutory minimum. If
but of course she's saying the language isn't authorized. She's saying as a matter of practice, you all and maybe many government attorney offices still base what they're going to recommend on the guidelines.
While that is true, Your Honor, in our district, and I'm unfamiliar with all the different districts, but in our district, they have a procedure where Benton, he started off at a 29 level. After the amendment, 750, his base offense level would then be 27, reducing it.
Yeah.
That is the way that the court, and then add with a 5K and a 3553, the recommendation for a 10-level reduction.
Yeah.
But if we just were looking at the amendment itself, Benton couldn't be receive a sentence less than he would go from the 121 to the one from the 151 to 100 to 125. The district court judge could only, he's bound by the statutory minimum, he could only sentence him to 120 months.
A little teeny adjustment. He could have gotten without the 5K 120.
Right. Okay. But for the 3553 in the 5A, the 3553 statutory exception, as this court said, 3553 is the sole basis for that reduction. So his ultimate sentence was not based on this guideline range. If he didn't have the 3553 statutory exception, there's no way Mr. Benton could have received a sentence of 57 months when the statutory minimum was 120 months. Yes, in our district, we may have this practical way of doing it and changing the guideline range, but as a matter of law, the only way he receive that ultimate sentence of 57 months was because of the statutory exception of 3553E. That's the same thing that happened in Carter. While I know the defendant would like to distinguish Carter and put it in its own little Carter category of having a guideline range below the statutory minimum and trying to narrowly apply Carter to that fact pattern, and then taking the Allen case, which was just decided by this court last month, and saying, okay, now this category of defendants, their guideline range touches, is connected to the statutory minimum. This is a whole nother category of defendants, and they're ineligible too, just like Carter, but now we want to have this separate category of defendants whose guideline ranges are exceed the statutory minimum. We want to put them in this special little category box and say because their guideline range was higher.
In her brief, she mentions a Fourth Circuit case that seems directly adverse to your position, right?
Right. Yes, Your Honor.
Do you know in that case, it's an unpublished decision, do you know whether the government sought rehearing?
No, Your Honor, I'm unfamiliar. I'm not sure if the government did. But
it was June of this year.
Yes, Your Honor.
And you just think they're wrong?
Your Honor, I think Carter, the facts of Carter controls. And I know Allen is unpublished, but I think it controls because in all three fact patterns, what you have is you have a defendant who was subject to a valid statutory minimum and received a sentence only because the government filed a 5K1.1 motion and authorization of 3553E. Those defendants in Carter, Allen, Benton, they received a sentence that was below the statutory minimum, not based because of some guideline range, but because of 3553E.
But wasn't the sentence based on a guideline range here? It went down 10 points. So the judge was still looking at the sentencing guidelines in deciding the sentence.
Your
so
Honor,
it's sort of based on both statutory minimum and sentencing ranges as well.
Your Honor, practically speaking, the court, the way the Middle District does it, it's based, you know, the court does consider that guideline range, but that ultimate sentence, you can't get it but for the 3553E. And there is a provision in 1.B10 in the application notes that specifically says the amendment does not, if the reduction is not authorized, if the amendment does not have the effect of lowering the defendant's applicable guideline range because of the operation of another guideline or statutory provision. And that's what we have here. I mean, if the defendant couldn't receive the sentence of 57 months in this case when his statutory minimum is 120 months, but for the statutory exception of 3553E. So it doesn't make any sense to treat the defendants who fall below, like Carter, the statutory minimum, any differently than a defendant who is guideline range is greater than the statutory minimum. Treating them differently, and essentially what end up happening is that defendant with the higher guideline range, Your Honors, that defendant, the reason he's in the higher guideline range is because either he had more drugs, so his base offense level is higher, or he had a more serious criminal history, so he had instead of a 4 like Benton, he might have had a 6. Those defendants with the more drugs or the more serious criminal history, they get treated better than the ones with the least amount of drugs and the least amount of criminal history. It doesn't make any sense. What's common in all of the cases, Carter, Allen, and in Benton, is again that the defendants were subject to a valid statutory minimum.
And what about the hypothetical I saw somewhere about, is it possible that someone who does not cooperate would end up with a lower sentence of someone that does cooperate? Because you cooperated and got a downward departure, we can't do any more for you. But yet the fellow who did not cooperate can get it reduced. And it could end up in a situation where someone who did not cooperate would get a lower sentence than someone who did cooperate?
Well, the defendant who didn't cooperate, or not just cooperate, because you can't just get below the statutory minimum with a 5K. You have to actually have the invocation of the 3553E. So that defendant wouldn't be able to get below 120 months, say, in a fact pattern like Benton's with the same amount of crack at that time. He would be stuck at the statutory minimum of 120 months. He would never be able to get below the statutory minimum like that defendant who decided to cooperate and the government moved for a sentence reduction pursuant to 3553E. So that defendant who cooperated and got the benefit of the 3553E got the benefit of getting below, I mean, Benton, his guideline range was one, lowest was 121. The lowest the judge could have given him was 120. He got 57 months. That's significantly lower than his guideline range or his statutory minimum. And I think, as you know, we already discussed, if Benton were sentenced today, Benton would only receive, you know, the application of the amendments, it would only drop his offense level from 29 to 27, leaving him with a guideline range of 100 and 125. And the district court judge could only sentence him to 120 months but for the application of the 3553 exception. So, Your Honors, in conclusion, we ask that you affirm the district court's ruling. The district court did not err in denying the defendant's motion to reduce his sentence. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Darius. Ms. Hudspeth, you have more time for rebuttal.
Thank you. First of all, I didn't finish answering a question I think you asked, Judge. The motions filed on all these cases, in this case, the probation officer said he's entitled to a comparably less reduction. So the 10 levels is from offense level 27 now, not 29. The government filed an objection, and we filed a response to that objection. So the record is clear, everybody's position below. And basically, the judge said, look, if it's based upon anything else besides the guideline range, if it's based upon 3553E, I can't, you're not eligible. That's wrong. And I agree that there are a lot of unfairnesses in this application. I mean, we get these calls from prison all the time. My cellmate just got out. Why can't I? It's a crack case. I think Carter's wrong for that reason. Let's not make this case unfair, too.
To help me.
Yes, sir.
Just tell me what your position is, why the sentence is based. The sentence of 57 months is based upon a guideline range 1, 2, 3, 4, and is not based upon the statutory minimum or upon the judge's authority under 3553.
I'm not saying it's not based upon his authority. He has to have authority to go below the guideline range. And that authority hasn't been withdrawn, by the way.
We've got to reject that aspect of it based upon part of the case and accept yours. Why are you right? 1, 2, 3, 4.
One, the starting point for the judge's reduction based because of substantial assistance with he's authorized to go to probation right at this point. The starting point was the applicable guideline range, which has since been reduced by this amendment. That starting point means that, among other things, my client's criminal history, the way he appeared in court that day, you name it, that sentence was at least for sure based upon that guideline range. That what else could based upon mean? Was it authorized by the guidelines range?
That's,
no.
That's the whole problem here. But what was it based upon in this primarily? I don't disagree with you there.
But in the Freeman case, which we didn't cite in our opinion, and I apologize.
I want you to tell me what your rationale is that we must accept that it was based upon the guideline range instead of based upon the district court's authority to reduce it to 57 months.
Because the recommendation was 10 levels down from that guideline range.
That's back to the practical point. Because you'd be right if it were triggered by, because the only reason anyone is even looking at this guy again is because there's been a lowering. That's your point.
Right.
If the language said when triggered by,
right,
then your argument, he would, then Brady would have the authority to reconsider it. But when it says based on, you can see how we're thinking, we're looking for a statutory authority. And plea agreements, PSRs, they always say, here are your guidelines, but if there's a statutory minimum, guidelines are not what your sentence will be based on. You can't get the lower end if it's below the statutory.
If it's below,
right,
which we were not. You know, which distinguishes us from Carter and Reginald Allen.
Yeah.
We are not below. If we were arguing Carter, it's a harder row to hoe. I think Carter's wrong, but I realize that's a different position. The starting point, the
triggering point.
The triggering point, the authorization was the 3553 and 5K to go below the guideline range. Where do you start? The guideline range. We're not asking for a sentence above the range because he cooperated. And then the question becomes where below the guideline range.
Now, if the recommendation was to come down 10 points and the judge decided, I think he needs a bigger break, I'm going down 2 additional points.
He could have done that.
He could have done that. He's not bound by the 10, so he could have done even a lower sentence. But now the government's arguing his hands are tied, he cannot do that. But he could have done it at the original sentence?
Well, he can still do it. They haven't withdrawn their 3553E. Well, they can't prohibit an Article III judge from amending the sentence in the limited circumstances allowed under 3582 because of an amendment to the Let's keep in mind, let's go back to what this is all about. Everybody agrees these ranges were racist and wrong, and we're trying to fix it. And if it's that wrong range is the starting point, then we've got to fix it in this case, too.
Thank you very much, Ms. Husbett. And thank you for a good argument, and thank the U.S. Attorney's Office for a very good argument. The arguments are very good in this case.